Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, I'm recording. You can just start whenever you feel.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. This is Richie, and there's also here. I'm going to start that again because that sounds so weird. Right, one, two, three. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. I'm here with, Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Tour Shed. This is Richie.
And JM coming at you from coronavirus country. Did you know that we just had 30 confirmed cases around where my mother-in-law lives? So yeah, it's awesome here.
Well, that's a good excuse to keep air away from the house.
Indeed.
So what have you been up to?
I haven't had a whole lot of time for writing recently. I've been working on stuff with our publisher, Fiction Vortex, doing a lot of regular real work. But one thing that I've been working on for the past 7 or 8 months, I've been doing a flash fiction serial with Altered Reality Magazine.
Nice. So
that's actually coming to a close. The last episode is going to be posted next month, which is kind of the epilogue of the story. This story is relates to my short story novel, In the Valley of Magic. So it's kind of a spinoff story related to In the Valley of Magic and the Adventures of Eirik. Kind of set in that world of wizards and watchmen. It's a very Terry Pratchett like world minus the overt satire.
Yeah, we know you love a bit of Pratchett, don't you?
I fell in love with Pratchett many years ago. What about you, Richie? Nice. What are you up to?
I've been doing a lot of editing, which isn't, it's always a bit taxing. I think editing, it's the most important part, but it's a bit tedious after a while. I've recently just got back from Germany. I went to a fine city called Hamburg. I don't know if you've ever been to Hamburg.
I might have heard of it, maybe.
Oh, you might have heard of it. Well, it's, in fact, there's like 2 million people live there. It's quite big. But we went to a football match, or soccer, as you call it, in the States. And it's a team called St. Pauli. And they were playing a team from East Germany known as Dynamo Dresden. So for people who don't know much about German football, St. Pauli, a very left-wing socialist club. So they have more women go to the game than anyone else, any other teams, and very sort of pro-LGBT rights and all that kind of thing, which is quite unique for football, I think, because it's traditionally it's a bit of a men's game.
But I didn't realize that football teams were political parties.
Well, they're not usually. That's what makes St. Pauli so unique. So Dresden and Nazis, they sort of sing a lot of Nazi stuff, and they're not very nice. Anyway, the football match was boring. It was 0-0. Then at the end of the game, we were standing or sitting just above the Dresden fans, and then all these Dresden fans started climbing over the fence trying to get to us, and a few of them did, and it was like it was quite scary actually. Like a big breach in the wall, and all these, it felt like a fantasy battle, you know, with all these like orcs just flooding over through the hole in the wall, just trying to get at you. And then the police came and saved the day. But yeah, so experienced a bit of German culture there, and now it's back to normality.
So, what do we got lined up for this episode?
So I think we're going to look at short stories this week, aren't we? Which is your forte?
Yeah, I think I said short story collection like 3 or 4 times already. So I've written a bunch of short story collections, and I've published quite a few. I think I'm at around 45, not counting the Flash Fiction serial, which is another 9 or 10. So yeah, I've done a lot in short stories. I think short stories are good for writers in many ways, and it's just a very efficient way to use your time. Especially me, like I struggle to find time to sit down and write larger projects. So being able to sit down and especially Flash Fiction, knock out a story in a day, it's very helpful for me. What about you? I know you've published some short stories.
I like short stories, yeah, and I'm starting to lean towards them more than ever for that very reason. That time is just not on my side anymore. And like you say, you can write a short story in a couple of days. It's a nice little project to wrap up. So I think today, what'd be quite useful for everybody would be a little discussion on why short stories are so helpful, looking at our experiences. It's helpful in terms of your writing career, your writing platform, and your writing ability. And I think given how many you've got published, you've obviously nailed structure, and which I always think with short story, structure is always the tricky part for me. So I think we're going to talk about a few different techniques we've both learned over the years when it comes to writing good short fiction. And lastly, we're going to talk a bit about how you get your short story published. Like I say, JM's had great success with that, so we're all going to be mining him for some knowledge.
I've got a bunch published. I don't know if I consider myself a great success. I think, I don't know, after doing this for a long time, I feel like really when you get up to that spot between like pro and semi-pro, like I haven't gotten a professional magazine sale yet. So that, I think really at that point, it's less about the writing and it's more about concept and the market and all those things that the market is the bane of my existence. I don't like even thinking about the market. I just want to write what I want to write. But
yeah.
That's kind of, that's the difference between being semi-pro and being pro is knowing what the market is, knowing what a magazine wants, knowing what themes and concepts are going to sell.
Definitely,
but I'm successful. I'm not greatly successful yet. There's still space for growth.
Yeah, always a good way. So firstly, we're going to talk today about why you should write short stories. And when I first fell in love with writing, I became so invested in writing and this novel I had an idea for that it was all I wanted to do. And it was only when I started to seek feedback on what I was doing that I realized that I wasn't actually very good at writing. So I realized that my storytelling required some finessing. So in order to do that, I sought advice. And someone I turned to, who was one of my biggest influences when it came to writing fiction in the first place, is George R. R. Martin. And he's got a very good bit of advice for any writer starting out. This is what he said. Given the realities of today's market in science fiction and fantasy, I would also suggest that any aspiring writer begin with short stories. These days, I meet far too many young writers who try to start off with a novel, write-off, or a trilogy, or even a 9-book series. That's like starting in at rock climbing by tackling Mount Everest. Short stories help you learn the craft. They're a good place for you to make the mistakes that every beginning writer is going to make. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I totally agree with it. I think I'm surprised about how many new amateur fantasy writers start off with, I've never written before, and now I'm going to write a trilogy because that's the thing to do. And yeah, it just baffles the mind. He makes a lot of good points. Number one, I think, why do you write short stories? Because writing short stories makes you a better writer, period.
Definitely.
So how does writing short stories make you a better writer? Well, he hinted at something. So it gives you the opportunity to write more, make mistakes, identify those mistakes, get better. So as you kind of, like my career trajectory in writing, I started out as a nobody. I started out publishing short stories and flash fictions in non-paying venues, and then moved gradually up to, you know, just kind of smaller semi-pro places where I publish now. But what that did is, you know, first dealing with rejection, second dealing with working with editors, like editors at the lower tier are more willing to invest the time because they don't get the incredible polished product that Analog or Science Fiction Magazine will get. So they know that they have to do a lot of editing. So working at the lower tier with e-zines and magazines and things at the lower tier, you're working with editors, you're getting that feedback about what patterns there are in your writing that need to be fixed. And you're also learning how to work with people and to work the system and work in the industry. So that's all very helpful. Yeah. So that's number one. And number two is writing short fiction makes you a better writer because it forces you to be efficient with your words, essentially.
Definitely.
Especially today, we're going to get into structure, but one of the big things about structure is short stories now are a lot shorter than they used to be. You are going to really struggle to sell a 13,000 word short story.
Yeah.
So short stories are shorter, and then you get into things like flash fiction. And when you're writing flash fiction, you have to count every single word. So it really makes you focus on how to clean up your language, how to know what words are important, what words aren't important, how to edit, how to avoid repetition, because in a short story, even a little bit of repetition is just amplified because there's just not a lot of other space, not a lot of other language. So all the things that just kind of textual sentence level type things that you need to learn to be a good writer, you learn them much faster in short fiction because they're just more prominent issues. And that writing efficiency will carry on into your novel and trilogy writing and just make that writing better. What do you think?
Yeah. Definitely. I agree with everything you've said. Something that gives me as well, more than anything else, is confidence. Because if you're committing yourself to writing a novel, that's like a year, 2 years of your time writing on your own with no feedback at all other than from kind people who agree to read over it for you. But you don't get any sort of affirmation from the wider or reading audience or editors and publishers that you're actually writing something that people want to read. So if you're selling short fiction on a regular basis, then it gives you that belief that you are writing good stuff and that people are going to, when it comes to publishing a longer piece, that the time is going to be invested well because, you know, people are going to want to read it. So
isn't there something in psychology about repeated small successes are more powerful than one big success? So it's like people are more motivated when they get constant, like little praise and little feedback repeatedly over a period of time, as opposed to one big, huge success.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
I remember reading that somewhere.
I agree. I think that's true. Definitely helps for me. Keeps my chin up.
Yeah, I remember when I first started writing and I...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I started posting every acceptance letter in my refrigerator.
Oh yeah.
I stopped after about 15 or 20, I stopped paying attention to that. But Facebook kindly reminded me by sending me, this is where you were, 3 years ago. And it was a picture of my refrigerator with a bunch of acceptance letters printed out and just taped to it.
Yeah. I remember the first time I got, first story I got published reading the email. It was, I never remember being a happier moment, to be honest. It's like you say, it's just that sort of all this time that you've invested, you've received no money for it. You don't know if you're wasting your time. Are you going to losing your sanity pursuing this thing? And then for someone to turn around and say, actually, yeah, this is worth reading. I don't know. I think
that's a good point too. In addition to feeling good about completing projects, there's something about your story being accepted and getting past the gatekeeper, right? Somebody else has looked at it and somebody else has said, this is writing worth publishing. That is an important step, I think, because you jump right into a trilogy without knowing if anybody's going to, consider your writing good or not. Like writing short stories and getting that feedback that, no, your writing is competent and is publishable is an important step, I think.
Definitely. I think one thing that you need to learn as well when it comes to this field is that rejection is going to be a common thing, a common theme, that even if you've written something brilliant, not everyone's going to like it. And a lot of publishers are going to say no before one says yes. And it does hurt. Of course it hurts when you get the rejection letters. You get a lot more than you do acceptance letters. But
but you develop emotional calluses. You develop thick skin and you get used to it. I think I haven't been tracking my story submissions in a while, but I think I was at least 250 rejections. And at that point, it's like, meh, on to the next one.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's just on to the next one, isn't it? And that's what you got to do. You got to persevere, pick yourself up and move on.
And I think the last, before we move on to the next topic, I think the last thing, why should you write short stories, is it helps you to build your author brand and to get publicity before you release a big project. Especially, I think these days, if you're trying to get into traditional publishing and get an agent or get a indie publisher to sign you, they look at your background. They look at your web presence. Do you have a website? Do you have a social media account? Are you out there? Do people know you? Short story publishing builds on that, and it establishes you at your author brand, as we like to say in the industry. What you're known for, what type of writing you're known for, your reputation, that kind of thing. That is that's almost a requirement now with agents and indie publishers that take direct submissions. Like you can't just write a fantasy trilogy and then send it out to people who don't know you. They're going to ask you so what have you done so far? And where are you on the web?
Yeah. Like short stories, I suppose, then are the proving ground where you've got to battle away, get the acceptances and prove that you can do it, that you're a good writer, that people are going to read you. And like you say, it's like building a CV or a resume.
Exactly.
You've got to be able to show off your writing skills and proving that you're a published writer is one way of doing that.
It's building a resume and it's also building a following.
Yeah, following.
So if you've got 10,000 blog followers, you you probably will be able to find an agent. They will. There's probably somebody out there that will put in, provided you're a halfway decent writer, like they're not going to take some hack. But if you're a halfway decent writer and you have 10,000 blog followers, they're probably going to put in the extra work because an agent will edit your book and everything too. So, yeah. Writing short stories helps you build a platform, helps you build a following, helps you build a reputation. So next we're going to talk about the structure of the short story. So when you're writing a short story, what things you have to consider about how you're structuring it and how you're putting it all together. So the first thing we might want to look at is what exactly is a short story? Like what defines a short story? And typically the difference between flash fiction, short story, novella, novel, epic, is word count. There isn't a definitive word count. Everybody kind of has a different point of view and a different definition. For example, some people include novelettes between short stories and novellas. I have never actually heard the term novelette being used actually in real life, like someone saying, I am publishing a novelette, or a publisher saying, we are now accepting novelettes. So I'm just going to ignore that category because I don't think it exists.
I think someone just made it up, didn't they?
Yeah.
Mine's a novelette, actually. It's designed to be special.
So starting at the lowest tier, the lowest tier, I would make a difference. So flash fiction is anything up to, in my definition, flash fiction goes up to 1500 words. And that's because there's a lot of flash fiction publishers that will take up to 1500 words, 1,500 words.
Yeah.
However, below flash fiction, there's actually another subgenre or another division point called microfiction. And microfiction is anywhere from like 300 to 500 words.
Nanofiction?
And God, yeah, nanofiction. Nanofiction's 100 words or less, right?
I was asked to get involved in a horror anthology of nanofiction, and that was quite tricky. It was restricted to two sentences, so you had to write two sentence horror stories.
Yeah. So when you're at nanofiction, there's usually really, really strict guidelines of we want exactly. I think I got a story published in. It's called like the 45 anthology. So the story had to be 45 words and the title had to be 45 characters. And it was like, so that when you get into nanofiction, it's just ridiculous how strict the rules are. I would consider all of that to be flash fiction. So nanofiction, microfiction, flash fiction, anything up to 1500 words is flash fiction. Yeah. Beyond that, so you're talking 1500 words to about maybe capping at 15,000 words is a short story. So a lot of places that accept longer works, they don't call them novelettes. They call them short stories, even though they're 14,000 words. Yeah. Anything beyond, say, 15,000 words is going to be a novella. And there are some publishers, some short fiction publishers, the fantasy and science fiction magazine that do publish novellas. But those are rare occasions. And then the cutoff for a novel is technically 40,000 words, although nobody is going to publish your novel if it's only 40,000 words, especially in fantasy. In fantasy, most agents and publishers actually have a cutoff more like 70 or 80,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have some data on short story publishers and word count, right?
Yeah. So when I've been doing a bit of research on the short story market, every publisher I've ever come across, I keep in a list, and I've got this list on my website. I think there's about 170 publishers on there now. So when I've been looking through all this data, you can see that the most common word count is 5,000 words.
Yep, that sounds about
and
right.
And the average is about, of all of them, is about 7,500. So I think that's a good so the target's aim for between 5,000 and 7,500 words.
I think for me, most publishers that I've seen or I've submitted to, it's usually somewhere around 3,000 to 7,500 words is where they're capping out. I've seen some that have capped out at 3,500 words, but usually it's around 7,500 or 8,000 words is the cap.
Yeah. So the trick then, I suppose, is how do you write stories with these amounts of words, so few words? So have you got any tips for us, JM?
Well, yeah, before I jump in on that, one more thing. Just highlighting the focus on short stories now being short, that 5,000 word cutoff, like you suggest, is a hard cutoff for a lot of publishers. There's actually there's a few publishers out there that specialize in they specialize in long short stories. And usually they want something that is over 5,000 words. So I think there's a Gigantosaurus is one, and there's Bards and Sages, Society of Misfit Stories. Also, they said, you know, they're basically their call for submission says, we're looking for all of the short stories that you can't publish anywhere else because they're too long. And then their minimum is 5,000. So that 5,000 is really kind of the crux point of where, you know, the comfort level for most short fiction publishers now is around that 5,000 point. So how do you get to 5,000 words? Because if you read a lot of old short stories, especially a lot of old science fiction short stories, they are long. And unfortunately, they also tend to be very dry. So one thing, we talked about why do you write short stories, and we talked about improving your craft and your efficiency. So hitting 5,000 words and having a complete story, which includes having a complete character arc, a complete plot arc, and all of the necessary world information required for that, those arcs, it can be difficult. Yeah. So you need to focus on your word efficiency, avoiding redundancies, finding ways to say things in as few words as possible, and then also world building. Our previous episode was talking about world building, and we talked about even in a novel, you should be considering, is this world building element required for the story that I'm trying to tell, or is it just something that's really fun for me and I just want to share it? If it's the latter case, definitely isn't going to be in your short story. You don't have space for fun ideas. You only have space for the essentials.
Definitely. It's always the risk, isn't it, with fantasy of trying to strike the balance with world building. And even with short stories in particular, you've got to be really ruthless in deciding what details to include and what to leave out. And I think you can, with short stories a little bit more, you can actually get away with not explaining things and creating a bit more intrigue and mystery. And I don't know, I think that works quite well in short stories. I mean, there's always ways around it as well. Like, I've got planned for next year a series of short stories that tells one overall story, and it's going to be from all different perspectives, and
that you can build familiar.
A world. Yeah, that's exactly what you've done, isn't it? So it's a good way of building the world and revealing a world without sort of long expositions and info dumps in single stories. So,
and I think how you get there is understanding that a short story is about a character, not about a concept and not about a world building. So typically when you read a short story, they're character centered. So when you're kind of thinking about what are the necessary world building elements and what is the chaff, the world building elements that you need are anything that relates to your character and develop your character. So
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That's because you don't have a lot of space. you don't have a lot of area to develop concepts. That's what typically why your short story is going to be focused on a character. So as you're writing your short stories, just keep that in mind that they're typically character focused. Who is this character? What are they trying to accomplish? What is the change? That character arc, that's kind of your driving force in a short story. And I think that understanding that helps you with the world building efficiency question, because you can think, I have all these world building elements. I have all these things I want to talk about. Which of those relate directly to my character arc and which of them don't? And the ones that don't are the ones that you can probably take out.
Yeah, that's a great point. So have you got any particularly good methods for structuring short stories?
So moving on to short story structure, one thing that I wanted to talk about was the three-act structure. And it's not something, so it's something that I find myself using a lot, though, and I think a lot of writers use it, but I don't think we're necessarily conscious about it. The Star Trek Next Generation series, so that whole series of shows, so Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, every single episode was built around three-act structure. And you can really tell because the commercial breaks for any of the Next Generation shows, the commercial breaks came at the end of each act. So you'd have the first act, there'd be a commercial break. It was very, very, like, very strictly and overtly structured in this three-act structure format. Yeah. So what is a three-act structure? So three-act structure breaks your story into three parts. The first part is the setup. The second part is the confrontation. And the third part is resolution. And in the setup, you basically, the focus of the setup is what's sometimes called the inciting incident. So that's kind of the thing that kicks your story off, like gets your character going on this path to whatever, you know, goal or fight or whatever he's driving to.
Yeah.
And then act two is just everything that they do along the way, building up to the climax. So anybody who's been writing stories should understand kind of the basic format of a story is you have rising action, climax, and then denouement or falling action. So the act two is all of the rising action, all of the little bits of action and the plot twists and the red herrings and all that kind of thing. And then act three begins at the climax and then has the resolution of the climax, the wrap up, the resolution of the story. So that's basically three-act structure. Nice. The thing with a short story, though, is typically, so the shorter your story is, the faster you need to start. So as you're reducing the length of your short story from, you know, a 5,000-word short story to a 1,500-word flash fiction piece, basically your first act, your act one, gets reduced. And a shorter short story will typically start right at the inciting incident. You jump right into the action. Sometimes a short story will start after the inciting incident. So like instead of seeing the start of the fight, you jumping into a short story as the fight's going on, and then the writer kind of fills in the details, kind of the backstory as you go. But the shorter your short story, the faster you want to start. And that's basically just cutting down act one, which is all your setup and all your background information. Anything else about starting a short story you had, Richie?
Yeah, I think the start is definitely the most crucial part. You've got to hook the reader from the off. It's the first line of any short story. Should spend more time on than any other, because that is the one that is gonna make or break it, in my view anyway. So I mean, I always remember when I was researching how to write short stories, there was always one example that came up, and it was a short story called Why Don't You Dance by Raymond Carver. I don't know if you've ever read it.
It sounds familiar. I probably read it in college.
Yeah, well, the opening line is quite a good example of what you should really be looking to do. So this is what it is. In the kitchen, he poured another drink and looked at the bedroom suite in his front yard. So when you read it, it's a bit weird.
But then yeah, it takes a while for that to click. Wait, yeah. Why is the bedroom stuff in the front yard?
Exactly, and this is what the aim is with opening lines, in order to hook the reader, you've got to create intrigue and you've got to make them ask questions. So in creating this weird image while he's doing something so normal, it makes you ask a lot of questions and creates a lot of intrigue. I think it's a brilliant example of what you should really be trying to do with your opening line.
I think opening lines are really important, but also the opening paragraphs and the first page and the opening paragraphs are basically the make or break point. So a lot of editors and readers, when they're going through a slush pile, won't read past the first page if it doesn't grab them. So yeah, first lines are really important, but that overall first page, the editor might give you a pass if your first line is not brilliant, but they're not going to give you a pass if for after that first page they haven't found any interest in your story. They're going to chuck it and they're going to move on to the next one.
Yeah.
And usually that first page is like 200 words. Because if you use the standard manuscript format, it's only actually half a page, double space. So yeah, you've got 100 to 200 words to hook the editor, hook the publisher, whoever, the agent that's reading your manuscript.
Yeah. No easy feat. Another thing I find quite helpful when it comes to structuring a short story is premise or the theme. If it's essentially what your short story is about. So if you've always got that point in mind, it keeps you focused and it keeps you on task. I mean, not every short story needs to have a premise. It could be pretty loose, but I quite like having a point behind a story, like what is the reason this character's going through this particular conflict. I don't know about you. Do you ever write with themes at heart?
I don't think you can write a short story without having some sort of theme or premise.
Because
it's, like I said, it's character focused, and your character wants something or needs something and is discovering something about the world, and that's going to inherently carry a theme along with it. But a lot of times I've written short stories, given the draft to people, and they've picked up, you know, themes that I wasn't even paying attention to that were just kind of inherently there.
Yeah. It's always nice when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, one of the best examples I can think of when it comes to these kind of things is The Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway, which is just like a brilliant example of like a theme of like a man faced with the reality of getting older and the need to prove himself that he's still a master fisherman, and that, I don't know. I thought on a thematic level, The Old Man and the Sea is brilliant.
And he definitely with literature short stories, you definitely get theme is a lot more potent. So I remember reading Edgar Allan Poe in college, and like all his stories are just thematic. Like there's some overriding theme of, you know, the guilt or loss or something in those stories.
Yeah. I mean, The Dubliners by James Joyce is another one of my favorite collections of short stories, and that again is very thematically driven. But I've been reading a few other kinds of writers there, short story writers lately, who focus more on the blood and the gore. And I mean, H.P. Lovecraft, I absolutely love H.P. Lovecraft. Like, once you get used to his crazy style, his stories are excellent in terms of the vividness of the adventures that you go on. It's very, very good. And Clive Barker, I'm reading a lot of him at the moment. He's a horror writer. He's actually one of Stephen King's favourite writers. And he's from my hometown of Liverpool as well, which is always a bonus. But he writes very gory and gritty stories as well, which is it's quite nice. What about you, Jay? Have you got any particularly favourite?
I think for listeners, a good source, especially if you're going to write flash fiction, there's a publisher, an e-zine called Daily Science Fiction. And you can actually if you go to that website, if you go to dailysciencefiction.com, they have a sign up and they will send you a story every day, a flash fiction story. And the great thing about Daily Science Fiction is they just show you the wide variety of different things you can do in the format. Yeah. There's stories that are just straight up, 1500 words stories of adventures of, heroes and characters. And they have things that are more like encyclopedia entries and all sorts of weird, weird structural formats and things. But they all have a concept or a theme or something that they're going at.
Sounds cool. Might sign up for that myself. So I think we've covered a lot of ground there on writing short stories. And should we move on to how we get them published?
I think that would be a good idea.
So how do you get your short stories published? I think a good way of looking at it is if we go through it step by step. So firstly, you're going to want to edit your story as best as you can. Get as many people to read it as possible and take their feedback on board and make it as polished as possible. You can even pay for an editor if you've got a bit of spare cash. Or you can use editing tools like Grammarly or Hemingway is a good one, which picks up on the likes of passive voice and things like that.
I think about the editing, one, you don't have to... Like your peer reviewers, they don't have to be writers. Like,
no,
just having any friend of yours read your story and they can tell you if they, if they liked the story, if they responded to the character, if there's things that they don't understand, like plot holes, just having anybody read your story is a benefit.
Definitely. Secondly, once you've got your story all polished and ready to go, you're going to want to format it. And generally, publishers ask for something called Shun's formatting guide or Shun's formatting style, and they also call it standard formatting style as well. So JM, you know a thing or two about Shun, I believe.
Yeah, so I think like you said, most publishers will these days want something in standard format, which is also called Shun format. If you go on Google and you just search Shun format short story, so S-H-U-N-N, Shun, yeah. Then you'll find a page that'll...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Give you the format, and it's very simple. It's using a standard font, like I always use Times New Roman, using a standard font, double space, 12-point font, having a running header that has the name of the story and the page number. It's very basic things that are just kind of common sense when you think about it. The caveat to that is you need to, with each publisher that you're going to submit to, you need to go to their submissions page and read what their formatting guidelines are, because these days more and more publishers are spitting out specific formatting that they want. The thing about shun formatting, and especially the double spacing, that all comes back from the era of typewriters and and hand editing and hand commenting. So the reason why you have double space papers is because somebody's going to actually write in between the lines and put in comments. So that's, you know, in college and high school, when you have to submit an essay, you give them double space because your professor is going to write all over it. Well, these days, a lot of commenting is done digitally in either Microsoft Word or Google. So there are publishers that will give you specific guidelines that they don't want double space, that they want a specific font, that they don't want headers or footers because they're using some sort of digital processing. So the most important thing is when I'm writing my story, I always start my story in standard shun format. That's my default file. And then as I'm finding publishers to submit to, I read their submission guidelines and I adjust accordingly. But the default should be standard format, shun format, because that's still the most common. And at a minimum, if a publisher doesn't give you strict guidelines of what they want and you send them something in shun format, it makes you look like a professional. And that's important. Yeah,
definitely. And also, to help you give you that professional image, you're going to want to draft a cover letter. So cover letters, there's not much to a cover letter. The simpler, the better. So basically you want to set out in clear terms the name of your story, how many words it is, that it's never been published before, or if it has been published, say when and where it was published. Optionally, you can include a paragraph with a few of your top publishing credits. So, JM, you think this is a bit of a waste of time?
The publisher submission guidelines are might tell you some of the things that they want in their cover letter, but I think you hit most of them. Title of the story, word count, has it been published before, that kind of thing. Whether or not you include your publishing credits, I think, can be hit or miss. If you haven't been published in a pro magazine, that means something which is, so now the rate for pro is now 8 cents a word. It used to be 6 cents a word, but now it's 8 cents a word. You're talking about Asimov, fantasy and science fiction. Actually, Daily Science Fiction is actually a pro level publisher as well. They pay 8 cents a word. A lot of if you're sending to like either a pro magazine or a semi-pro magazine, they're not going to care about your publishing credits unless you've been published in a professional level magazine. If you're sending to a lower tier indie publisher or a non-paying publisher, it might benefit you to, especially if you've been paid. Even if you've been paid 1 cent a word or $25 for a story, that might help you in a lower tier. It doesn't help you so much in the upper tier.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, a lot of times you can get at the publication credits by putting it in your bio. So a lot of times the submission guidelines will say include a bio of 100 words. And in that bio, you put your publication credits. I've been published in X, Y, and Z. I've won, you know, this award. And this is the project I'm working on. That all gets in the bio. So if you're submitting a bio, you don't need to put the publication credits in the cover letter itself either.
Yeah, that's a good point. So with your cover letter and your manuscript all formatted, what you want to do next is research the market. So it's become a lot easier, I think, to find publishers, especially over the even over the last few years. I remember when I started out, I was just doing it manually, just Googling fantasy publishers, looking on social media, and I've actually compiled a list of all the ones that I've come across over the years, which you mentioned earlier. So there's about 170 publishers on there, If you go to my website, www.richiebilling.com, you can find it there under the Writing Resources tab. And there's also a few different options as well. Now, I think, have you heard of the Submission Grinder, which is a free resource? Have you ever heard of that, JM?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't used it. I haven't needed to use it, but I've heard of it.
That's to be honest, it's brilliant. The sheer number of publishers they've got on there. You can narrow your searches. It tells you what genres they publish, how much they pay, if there's any anthologies, the special anthologies that they're running at the moment. It's brilliant. And then you've also got Geotrope, which is a paid version of the Submission Grinder. I think it costs about $5 a month, but you also get access to lists of literary agents as well. And I think that's pretty. I currently subscribe to Geotrope. I know with the Submission Grinder being free, I should probably cancel it, but I do quite like Geotrope, so I have kept it.
I think the list that you keep on your website is pretty good. I'm totally not in a conflict of interest when I recommend it. There's also Ralan.com, Ralan.com, which is science fiction, fantasy specific, and that maintains lists, and it divides them up by pay, so pro, semi-pro, token pay. But one thing that I really like is there's something called Authors Publish Magazine. And they actually have, it's kind of like a newsletter. You sign up for it, and then at least once a month, they send out an email with open calls for submissions. And that's where I find most of my anthologies. Because the thing about, the static lists like Ralan.com, those are good for magazines and e-zines that are permanent and that are always accepting the same submissions. But when you have things like anthologies that are just spur of the moment, they appear, they have a call for submissions, and then they disappear. Those are harder to track down. So the Authors Publish Magazine, the email that they send out every month has a list of open anthologies that are you're gonna struggle to find otherwise. So that's a really good one. And then there's also a Facebook group that's I think it's called Calls for Submissions, where anybody really who is who's has an open call can go on that Facebook group, and they can publish their call and say, "Hey, I'm looking for stories for this publication." And you find some interesting stuff on there too that you wouldn't find otherwise. So those are two big ones that I find are really useful.
Yeah, definitely. And even just going on Twitter and typing in a few relevant search terms like short stories, publishers, and then sorting by recent posts. I find that a brilliant way. Particularly, it's not relevant, but finding book reviewers, and it's quite an effective method for that. And it's also good for short stories too. So,
are you telling me I need to be on Twitter?
I don't really like Twitter, to be honest, but it has its uses.
Well, I'm gonna write the first epic tweet fantasy novel.
I think someone actually did that. Tweeted all of their novels.
But that's just tweeting something you've already written. I'm talking about designing it for the format.
Oh.
No, I'm not gonna do that. I'd lose my mind.
Yeah. I think the last bit of advice I've got when it comes to getting your short stories published is never give up, because no is going to become the norm and confidence is going to wane and it's going to disappear. You just got to keep picking yourself up, take on board any feedback that you get, and celebrate the fact that you got some feedback, because it shows that you got close. You're in the top few percent that the editors set aside and enjoyed. And just keep searching for publishers, keep on sending stories out, and believe. And in the end, you're going to get your stories published. So just keep trying, persevering, and good things will happen.
So that about wraps it up for this episode. But before we go, I have a shameless plug since we're talking about short stories. So here is a open call for submissions. If you have read any of Richie or I's Fiction Vortex related material, so we're talking our Of Metal and Magic shared universe. So for me, that's my book called The Guardian. We've also recently released a anthology of stories related to our fantasy universe. Well, I am on the lookout for short stories and flash fiction that we can, that we're going to be posting on our website. Our website is going to be releasing here shortly. So consider this an open call for your short fiction. If you're looking to get started in the format and want some one-on-one time with me, you can contact me at jmwilliams@fictionvortex.com. So just send me an email. All the stories have to obviously relate to the shared setting that we write in. So it would behoove you to read the anthology or read Call of the Guardian and know what you're getting into. But that's definitely a place to start. And then wrapping up this episode, moving in, I think we've done a pretty good job with these first few episodes of this podcast. It seems like we're going places. Moving forward, if there are any topics that you, our dear listeners, would like us to dive into, just let us know. You know, comment on YouTube or send us a message on Facebook on some of the topics that you're more interested in, and maybe in a future episode we might address those topics. What do you think, Richie?
Yeah, I think that's great. We do this for you guys, so if there's anything that you want us to tackle, just ask them. More than happy to dive into it and see what we can do.
Do you have any last parting words?
Just keep on writing. Just keep on writing and enjoy.
The hardest part.
Yeah, find the time to do it. I think both of us at the moment feel like we're getting busier, and we're both going through that experience at the moment where we don't always have the time that we want to dedicate to the work that we're doing. So there's always times in life where you go through these things, and you've just got to keep the love for the pursuit alive in your heart and find the time where you can.
There's a lot of bloggers that I follow that have very good writing routines. They're like, I have this schedule and I do this much of writing every week on this day, and like, I just can't do it. I can't commit myself to a schedule, and that's probably my downfall.
Yeah, and that cat meowing in the background would put me off writing as well. All right then. Well, we'll see you next week, and give us a shout. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe. Tell everyone about our little show, and we'll see you next time.
Yep. Thanks for listening, and hope you join us next time.